Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
What's up, everybody? It's Owen. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, episode number 81. Today, we spoke with former Cal Poly basketball player, basketball star, current Cal Poly color commentator, and color commentator for lots of college basketball games, Mike Wozniak. Woz was kind enough to join us, and he talked this time about three ball. Last time we had him on, we talked a lot about Cal Poly and the basketball team. That was almost a year ago now. This time we talked about three ball. Three ball is kind of hard to explain. Woz does a pretty good job of it. Basically, it's a way for kids in the San Luis Obispo area to get some good coaching to improve their basketball skills. And I think you'll enjoy the conversation I had with Mike Wozniak here on the Fansmanship.com podcast. With me for the second time is former Cal Poly basketball player, current ESPN Radio 1280 drive time host of the Sports Bite with Dave Aulis. It is Mike Wozniak. Woz, what's going on?
Owen, great to be here. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Absolutely. Beginning of the basketball season, so it's always a good time to talk some hoops with you. I know the last time we talked, we spoke last year at the beginning of the year about Cal Poly and kind of their season that they had last year, or the upcoming season at the time. But I want to kind of get into today, and I spent all day myself at a high school basketball tournament, and high school basketball is something that I could probably, I mean, I could sit at a tournament like that all day and watch just, you know, kids come through and the differences in coaching styles and kids' body language. And, you know, you see a little team that comes out and dominates a big team in high school, and just guys who either know what they're doing, kind of know what they're doing, or don't really know what they're doing when it comes to, you know, 14, 15 through 18-year-olds. And I know you have a soft spot, and actually three ball is a program that you put together, right? And I kind of wanted to ask about it because it came around at a time that I actually wasn't in the area. So for those of us who are like, who don't really know the history of three ball, help me know about like how it got developed, what its goals are, its mission is, and kind of who it's available for and so
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, it really started as a senior project when I was at Cal Poly.
Okay.
My undergrad senior project was a different side of three ball. It had more to do with the feasibility study of an actual facility.
Were you a rec? Like a?
No, I was a business major, management okay. And finance, but one of our side jobs or side projects was to see the feasibility of an actual facility, and not just for basketball, but for volleyball, for soccer, for a lot of variety of things.
Like a Mott Athletic Center replacement?
Well,
at the time.
Not really for the college scene, but for the local scene, all the youth sports, all the variety of high school stuff. So
okay.
Just an extra gymnasium, extra,
Community.
Really a community facility, exactly right.
Okay.
And while that project has taken on many different turns over the years, you know, the first nuts and bolts of that project was, wow, land costs this much? Wow. You know, all the components that would go into, you know, building a construction project. And here you are as a little undergrad trying to, you know, learn the numbers and dream at the same time. But in conjunction with that project, still what started when I finished my playing days here at Poly was the interest from a lot of parents. Hey, will you work with my son or my daughter on free throws or layups or whatever it was? And at the time, I never really considered myself a coach.
Okay.
But I always thought that I had very good coaching growing up, well, whether it was my dad, whether it was my club teams that I played on. You know, I was fortunate to live in some great cities for basketball and sports.
You're from Indiana, so like, yeah, I mean, right. Basketball is probably as well coached there top to bottom as anywhere else.
And attended and excited for. So that combination, that mixture really, when I finished playing, I was like, well, you know, I wanted to give playing a shot, which I did for a year. But then coming back and working on my master's in business, also kind of continuing that desire to maybe one day build a facility, I started to train kids. I started to train and help them with shots and offense and moves and dribbling and all that. And it slowly grew from, you know, a couple kids to a team. And now all of a sudden, you know, parents, well, hey, why don't we go to a tournament? Why don't we do a league? And it grew from there. And I just continue to make contacts and relationships. And, you know, the biggest thing I tried to start when I started three ball, and it was really never a desire to you know, really started as a business model or a perpetual thing. Mm-hmm. I just tried to help and show kids and give them motivation to improve and the skill sets that they can kind of take and run with.
Right.
So that was really the infancy of it, was recognizing a need and really a desire from young kids that yeah. wanted some skill instruction, and for me to be able to share just bits and pieces of what I learned was something that I saw could help them.
Great. And so you're talking about kids. What ages were those kids when you were first working with them? Was it a wide variety?
Yeah, when I first started, you know, there are a couple families, and I actually saw one of the families in the airport the other day, and I was asking about their boys, and it was funny. Really, the first group I ever started working with is out of college now, so they're 2 and 3 years out of college.
Does it make you feel old?
Well, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. And so, you know, really when it – in its current form right now, three ball goes all the way down to third graders.
Okay.
We have third graders, and we still have high school teams that we take to different tournaments.
So it's –
It's really all-encompassing for age groups, and we have a couple different prongs within the program that really our teams are set up in a way that kids kind of have to earn their way onto those teams, either through showing a skill set or kind of graduating through what we call our Sunday workout program, which is really, in my opinion, you know, the families and the kids love the games, and they love the tournaments, and they love the leagues. But really, our Sunday workout is kind of the nuts and bolts of really why I created three ball.
Okay.
For a little kid that can't make a left-handed layup or even pass with his left hand yet, that's an opportunity for them to learn some skills and drills that can help them. Some kids take it and run with it. Others, they're out there for the more fun activity, camaraderie aspect. So really,
and that's okay too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Because you look at kids from a coaching perspective, and I've been fortunate to have a lot of solid coaches that have helped us over the years. I always try to explain to them that making a relationship and helping the player to respect you as a person first, because, you know, three ball has evolved into a lot of basketball aspect things, but over the past year we've really tried to develop our culture and put more in place kind of our standards of what we do. And I obviously I'd be happy to share with you some of our – we have a couple playing cards that we give kids. And it's kind of cool some of the stuff they get to earn and graduate to within the program.
So if I'm a parent of a fifth grade kid who is interested in getting better at basketball, and they would email you or call you up or something, come out on a Sunday. There's like a fee for them to come out for a period of Sundays probably.
Right.
And then they get coaching for a couple, 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning.
And really the way it's designed. Right.
Okay.
And again, there's many different prongs to it.
Okay.
And it's much easier seen and described than talked about via
right.
a podcast or radio.
Yes. Yeah.
I get that from parents all the time. Like, wow, we didn't think it was like this at all.
Okay.
And you know, to their credit, a lot of families come out and try it, and it's like, wow, we want to continue to go. And others, it's like, well, you know, we want our kids just to play in games. And I see that.
More like a club team than a development.
Right.
Like.
Right.
Weekly camp, if you will.
And why we do have teams, we had 10 teams this fall, ranging from high school all the way down to fourth and fifth grade boys. We have two girls teams now that have continued to develop. But really the intro to our program, say I've never met the family or never met the kid, there needs to be some learning on both sides so that we can identify and we can analyze and we can say, hey, you're really good at this. We need some improvement here. And then also the culture within our program takes a little time to acclimate as well.
Right.
Because
you have to get indoctrinated into the things that you guys are about.
We're really big on respect. We're really big on, you know, life skills of listening and patience and competition and camaraderie. So a lot of those times, those can't be drilled enough in just basketball environments. It takes a little time.
Yeah. How big of a deal are the things like patience and maturity? I mean, when you look at high school, and I know I did a couple high school games with you last year. When you look at a high school kid who's playing, and like I said, I could sit at a tournament all day and watch these, you know, kids play. I watched a team play two games today, and it was a team that was really well coached and have mature kids, and they lost the second game, but you almost couldn't tell for most of the kids after the second game versus after the first game. They rarely even made an eye contact with the official. They rarely, you know, you couldn't tell whether the last play was good or bad. How big of a deal is like angst and that maturity at that level? I mean, you can have all the talent in the world, right? But maybe not have some of those character things, but some of those cultural, you know, culture things, those things that you try to build as a culture with three ball, respect and all those and all those things.
I think it's very big because, you know, actually living here in the Central Coast, and, you know, I consider the Central Coast all the way from northern Paso Robles all the way down to Santa Maria and in Orchid.
Yeah.
In this area, we're actually at a significant disadvantage for a very, very good high school player, just the competition range. And while there's good teams and good coaches and good programs, they really can't push their upper level to it. Now, with that said, there are very few kids that have that chance to be good enough to go to college and thus need really those high-level skills to, like what you're talking about, be on top of their game, being able to respect, being able to also have that talent and fight through a little adversity. But for the 95 or, you know, 90% of all the other kids, that's a huge value that I think that is learned more so at the younger ages so that they can kind of deal with it when they get to high school. For and I don't know the exact percentage, but I would say it's well over 85 or 90% in this area of high school players. Those may be their last games other than pickup games.
Right.
So, you know, when they look at their high school, so many of them have looked for years and years and years that, oh, this is my time. And if they haven't prepared properly for it, it could be frustrating unless they've got some good buddies.
Or angst-riddled. I mean, you see so much angst on the court, and that's like a word that somebody just used to describe it one time, and I think it's so appropriate to just watch a kid who's coming off the court and pulling their jersey out of their shorts. And
well, there's expectations, and when those aren't met, it's a little funny. But
isn't that angst what you want to avoid, though, like through what you're doing?
I mean, absolutely.
That kind of like you said, if they haven't prepared for it, how are they expected?
Well, I think preparation is a huge word that we use in our program. I mean, our daily drills that we work on, we start virtually every practice with ball handling, with passing, with defense, with footwork, with basically what I call just basketball basics, controllable skills. Can you learn your body? Can you be on balance? Can you pass and catch correctly? And you know, for a lot of the kids in our program that matriculate into high school or beyond, it's one of those where we don't sit there and beat them with plays. We just don't teach them plays. We teach them concepts. We teach them how to play without the ball. We teach them how to play defense. We teach them how to run the floor. We do a lot of 3-on-3 and a lot of 4-on-4. So within our basketball schemes of things, we're kind of able to implement some of the life lessons, the culture, the frustration, the learning, the setting examples, and you're really dealing with success. Because a lot of the kids that have come through our program too are more on the upper end of serious basketball players and have some pretty good skill. But dealing with that success as a better player and a leader on their teams is also important.
Who are your coaches and what kind of experience do they have? One of the reasons why I'm asking and talking with Paul Holliher, the soccer coach here, and
he's got a great youth program.
He goes to Europe every year and he uses the example that in wherever, you know, we have more kids playing youth soccer here than in the United States than the Netherlands has in the whole country. Okay. And the reason why they can develop their players is because you have high level coaches who are competent and who know what they're doing, coaching 6-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds, you know, like 7, 8, whatever, that whole range of young students, of young kids, and being able to work with those kids early on and not just be, you know, and gosh, more power to the dads who, I mean, my dad came out and coached random sports that, you know, I'm sure he learned about as he did. But in sports, isn't it so important to have that good coaching early on? And in America, where soccer's not really like an ingrained sport, you might have a random dad of a 6-year-old who's just out there, you know, showing him how to kick the ball around, doesn't really have those coaching skills either. Who are the coaches there and what kind of impact does that have?
It's a huge difference, especially in youth, especially in motivating, teaching correctly so that the kids can eventually put a practice habit of their own together. Our coaches have ranged over the years from former Cal Poly players, usually one or two per year of seniors that graduate. I kind of invite them to come, you know, give them, you know, Cal Poly is so fantastic in having so many great student athletes that some of them recognize how they can help youth. So there's always one or two graduating seniors on the men's or women's side that come and help the program.
Who are some recent ones from the last couple of years?
David Henry comes to mind. Dylan Royer has been involved. I mean, you're putting me on the spot here.
Those are two good ones.
You know, I think back to Matt Hansen from Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
You know, Steve Geary was one of them from back in the day.
Yeah. And they're really trying to connect with alumni more too, and you're certainly that as well.
So we'll always have a Camp Poly component to it. We also have either former guys that have played in college or at least have been around the college game, not necessarily players, but guys that have taught and at least really love a passion for the game.
Sure.
Currently, we have a couple coaches from the Central Coast who graduated from Arroyo Grande High School. Occasionally, we have a couple Cal Poly students that are rec majors that know the game. I've helped with them and them getting course credit for being a part of our project. So it really, that's probably, I would put that easily second, probably second or third on the most important thing for three ball is having our quality coaches. The first of it, making sure our message is consistent with teaching and scheduling, making sure we have a routine that players can adapt to, and then having great influence from our coaches. All our coaches, I give them long leashes to teach basketball, but I make sure that they're first and foremost they're trying to earn the respect of the players they're coaching. So it's more about relationships for a new coach coming in than anything. I tell them, hey, Phil Jackson can walk in that door tomorrow, and if he can't command the room or can't get their attention, it's all going to go for naught.
He's ineffective.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and that sounds crazy, but until you've really worked with kids, you don't know that feeling, especially younger ones, fourth and fifth and sixth graders. And it really can be chaotic, but I think the parents overall really appreciate the structure, the discipline, and from our coaches holding the kids accountable.
You talk about the opportunities for guys to get really good coaching, and this is one of those places that they can in the county, aside from maybe, the however long their high school season lasts or whatever, in a lot of cases. Would your goal, I know a lot of players currently who are in high school who are getting looked at by colleges, the Quentin Adleshes and the Riley Berwick, who just signed with Florida State, and Cameron Walker down in Santa Maria. Those are guys who are getting looked at really closely. But they play club basketball, at least for Quentin and Cameron, down in like Compton, right?
They were fifth graders playing in three ball.
Absolutely. So would your goal, be that a three ball team could be on that circuit with a team like the Compton Magic at some point down the road? Is that like a long-term goal
That's a good point, because actually this summer we did win one of the divisions in Vegas. It was the two players you mentioned there, a lot of their teammates that had grown up as a three-ball team together. So what we're starting to see we won another recent tournament just a couple weeks ago, early November, down in L.A. We took a group of 15- and 16-year-olds, and it was amazing to see how well they share the ball and trust each other in comparison to a lot of the other more athletic, maybe put together on the weekend team. As far as being a primary goal, I would love for every kid in our program to experience what college basketball is like. It's not realistic, but they can experience the tournaments that other college basketball players are in. So we've made some progress. It's taken time to teach a fifth and a sixth grader some skills.
And that's why I said, maybe not a goal for two or 5 years, but, thinking farther down the line.
We're starting to see it. If you really look at the junior class here in the Pac-7 and on the Central Coast, there's numerous college basketball players in that. Maybe not Division I players, but to the level and the skill level and the really competition that they could do it.
Yeah.
I think the Pac-7 is going to be one of the more showcase leagues this year, obviously in the area, but I think for kids that they desire it, but they put in the time to it.
And you've been there with them.
For a lot of them. I'll never, call three ball the reason that these kids are there.
Sure.
But we've introduced them to things that have motivated them and continue to work. And we still get together for workouts, and we work out weekly in the off season, and we go to select tournaments. But I think the coolest thing is kids know, especially when they're older and in high school, freshmen, and when they come to a three-ball workout, there's pretty much no nonsense, and we're getting to work. So, and that's the stuff we've instilled into them from the fourth and fifth and sixth grade. So,
right. I can't let you leave without asking you a little bit about Cal Poly.
Sure.
They have two wins this year, one over a Division I team.
Mm-hmm.
They've looked, frankly, just so inconsistent through the first six games.
Mm-hmm.
Were they 2-4 now? Yeah, they've looked just inconsistent in my mind. I went over to the Fresno State game, I saw the Bethesda game. You see guys who, in spurts, just have such it makes you go, oh, it makes you get really excited. And then, you know, you look up and a team has rattled off 7 straight points or something.
Right.
And I've always, you know, I've taken kind of the, from a fan's perspective as far as, hey, I think Joe Calero has proven that he can mold guys into what he needs them to be over the past 4 or 5 years. Is there any reason to think differently about this team as far as the fact that, you know, they will be a good defensive team again, a consistent one, that they will be able to score with other teams in the Big West? The Big West is good this year. What are your thoughts about this team?
I don't see anything cultural with the basketball team that is significantly different than other years, which is a huge positive because we know what that culture, that togetherness has brought. You know, whether it's losing on buzzer beaters or being high in the conference, there's still those factors to it. I don't see an abundance of individual shot makers.
Right.
I think the offense is maybe where it should or could be. But the beautiful thing about college basketball, especially in the Big West, is you're allowed to improve during the regular season, and then you make your run towards the end. And if you look at how Coach and the Mustangs defended home turf, huge game tonight for them just to kind of get back to those standards. But I would look at it and I'd say a little bit more tweak on the defensive end, but the bottom line is in college basketball, if you can't score, you can't win. And they're a slow-tempo team, one of the slower in the country, which makes their possessions all the more important. So if you're running clock and not making shots, it just puts a little bit more pressure on the entirety.
And you're... they may be one of the more slow-moving teams, but the games I've seen, they've run clock sometimes and not run clock other times. They've come down and jacked up a three, you know, whether it's, you know, Eversley or even, you know, Odister sometimes. And you wonder, okay, are they just kind of trying things out? Are they saying we're going to play fast for a little while here and then try to slow it down here? And maybe by the time conference comes around, they'll have an identity. I think that's what... That's been the hallmark of a Calero team is the identity part, right? And so is that something that we can expect, do you think, like towards the conference season?
Well, I really hope so.
Right.
And obviously, Odister is one of their main shooters. They're going to need a secondary shooter to step
right.
up. I think David Waba is one of the best athletes in the conference, and you continue. I won't be surprised tonight if Coach Calero puts him in some individual kind of clear-out roles to let him attack. He's one of the more efficient players in the country.
Really exciting.
Absolutely exciting. You know, I've described him as... he easily dunks when he's off balance. And when he's off balance, he could still make a play. So just a fantastic component there. And obviously, Eversley's got to play a little bit better for this team if they're going to win some close games. So looking forward to a season in which Calero wants them practicing harder and better
right now
than what they're putting out on the floor.
Right, right. And that's what he mentioned in the Fresno State game. I would imagine, you know, the early preseason for, I think there's 5 new people on at practice this year. Kids got to get used to that.
And
right?
You know what? A little crazier thing in this fall quarter, and Polly being on quarters, was as disjointed as I've ever seen for players at practice
really?
Due to school schedules.
That's right. There were two that had to leave early or something, right?
It's not like that at most places. And expect in the winter quarter for those guys to all be at practice together, and that could make a huge jump for the regular season or the conference season coming up.
Yeah, yeah. Joe did mention that earlier on. Cool. Well, Mike Wozniak, I hear the band playing downstairs. I know you got a call to do on the radio tonight. I really appreciate you joining us. And if people want to know more about 3Ball, is there a website?
Yeah, the best way to get in contact with me is 3ball.org. My email's on there. I have some information about our Sunday workout. And really the best thing about 3Ball is anybody's included. Anybody's invited. There's different prongs to it that they can get more serious with. But for the most part, anyone can get invited.
You come out on a Sunday, you make it happen.
Absolutely.
There used to be something.
Other days as well.
There used to be this thing back in the day called a jam session that was on Sundays when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And you know, you got like a different colored shirt every half a year or whatever, and you'd come out and you'd basically get on a team, you do a couple skill things, then you play some games. But I think the next step of that is what you're talking about with 3Ball, and I think it's exciting for kids on the Central Coast. I know growing up in Cayucas, there's always something you're looking for. You're looking for where that game is, and you know, we drive to Atascadero and, you know, find the Atascadero kids and play with them or whatever. It's nice to have a central hub for something a little more structured than that, for sure.
It really is. And I appreciate you putting some recognition to it. We have a wonderful family base. The kids are fantastic. Our coaching group is really improving. Hey, keep those pipes warm because we've got some high school games to call coming up as well.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do some more on the radio with you.
Yeah, let me know. I'm happy to do it. Thanks, Wes.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in trouble town. a lonely place, it's true. Streetlights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. Signs out on the streets direct me running back.